Father Thomas has shared about some of these that we've seen pictures of. It's an amazing, amazing thing. People from cults, prostitutes off the street. I'm just so blessed. And we as a church have had the privilege of sowing into that ministry, and as we will continue. And we will offer that opportunity at the end of the service today to be able to be a part of that, because it is. I look at much of like what our beautiful New Hope House girls are going through, and we're just so blessed to be a part of that. It's the heart of this church, is to reach out to people that are in a moment of difficulty and to be able to help them find a life of purpose and destiny. Amen? God is so good. And Brother Thomas, will you come and bless us? Let me ask you, while he's coming, to get your phone out and go to our Facebook page and to go to the video and share the video on your Facebook page so that your friends can have the opportunity to hear the message that Brother Thomas is going to bring. You will want to make sure that they hear that. So please, if you will, go do that. As Brother Thomas comes, man, just lay it out. Thanks. Amen. Good. Let's welcome Brother Thomas Akute. Thank
you. Good morning. David said it is a joy for him to come into the house of the Lord. Anytime you're in the house of the Lord, you are privileged, because it's not just a right, it's a privilege that God gives to us to relate with him. Amen. And we must use every opportunity we have to give him that attention. You know, so many times in our lives, we think that life has so beaten us so much that God cannot accept us. You know, in Jesus Christ, he gave us a new hope, a new life, a new beginning. I want to thank you very much for your support and your prayers, because what we are doing there in Project Hope in Nigeria, we started that about 12 years ago because it came out of my personal story of how my life was battered at the age of 10, and it's like no hope. But when I gave my life to Christ, I said to myself, if God enabled me somehow, I would not let somebody else go through what I went through. That was how Project Hope was born. And then we took the first 35 girls. One of them came from a brothel. You know, she was already there, in a brothel, and she came from there. And then was in Project Hope. But you know what? After the 2 years training, she said to me, I don't have anywhere to go. And I said to her, fine, do you like to stay here? Yeah. So we employed her to be the matron of the place. Today, she has lived in that place for 11 years. And she is the matron. If I want to discipline anybody, she will cry so hard. And she said to me, if you do that, where would they go? Because she know her personal story, that if I have driven her away, there's no way she would have been able to make life. And while she was there, we began to sponsor her to go to college. And she was going every weekend to do studies. Now she just graduated. And her life had been put together. And I remember one day she was expressing to me and said, thank God for bringing me here. All my brothers, you know, who rejected me early, today I'm like the darling of their life. You know, that is what Jesus can do. The young guy you saw who was picking the boy, he was in a very bad court. But when he came, he didn't know Christ. And because the purpose is to bring people who don't know Christ into the place and then give them opportunity to know Christ. Early morning, 30 minutes devotion. Then 1 hour in the afternoon is the service. We have chapel for them. In the evening, another 1 hour. So 3 times a day, they are brought into the presence of God. And you can see God just work in their lives. I can tell you, almost, I won't give myself 100%, but 99% of those who come in without Christ go away with Christ. Amen. Amen? And that is exactly what this is all about. And I want to thank you for what you are doing in this area, because you may not know the impact you are making in the community. Because Jesus said, if you feed the hungry, you are feeding me. If you clothe those who are naked, you are doing that to me. If you visit those who are in the hospital or those who are sick, you are doing the same thing for me. So that is what you are doing in New Life. And I am so thankful to God that God brought Pastor Mark here to actually spread this love of God in this community. And I want you to join hand with him. Support him as he goes around it. I tell people, a man of vision is a madman until his vision come true. You see, because when he starts sharing another vision, he say, oh, here he come again. You know, we have not finished this one, and he's coming to this one. You can never exhaust the opportunity a man of vision gives to you. But any one of them you follow has a kingdom reward. And that is what I'm encouraging you. Your finances, one day you will be in heaven and people will come and say, thank you. Black men, red, blue, whatever color they are, they come and say, thank you. And you ask yourself, oh no, where did I know you? Well, you gave. That was how I came to Christ. That is something you will not like to miss, the joy you will not like to miss. And that is why I do what I do anywhere I go. And that is what is uppermost in my mind, that a day is coming. I'm going to find so many people from different places saying thank you for what you do. And then you know what? The percentage of those thank you comes to you. And that is why I say thank you very much for all your support. And I pray that you continue to pray for us and continue to support us. My country needs a lot of prayers. We don't know what the situation is going to be in the next few months. But one thing I am praying and believing God is that God will hold my nation in the hollow of his hand and will not let the enemy to destroy it. That is what I want to ask you to pray for me. It's difficult to do ministry in some places where there are resentment, where there are cultural differences, and where there are religious tensions. It's very difficult. But so many pastors put their life in their hand to go preach the gospel, and some have been killed. But the more you do that, the more the kingdom of God spread. So keep praying for the pastors who are up in the northern part of my nation, because I want to see God move in their life more than ever before. Where I am, it doesn't have the kind of tension they have. But I believe that we are all affected because we are one body. Yes. So please keep praying for them. Amen?
Amen.
This morning I'm going to talk about the cross, the power of the cross. You see, so many of us don't know that the cross is a symbol of our freedom. It's the symbol of our relationship with God. The symbol of our authority. Many people don't know that. And that is why sometimes we don't actually value what the cross brought to us. But this morning I'm going to take you a little bit in a journey to see what the cross have done in our lives. Without the cross, I wouldn't be here. It was the sacrifice of the cross that brought Christ into my life that brought me here. And I want to thank God very much for the opportunity to really relate with God. Let me read a scripture from the book of Matthew chapter 27, from verse 50 to 53. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at the moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many, many people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Shall we pray? Father, thank you very much for this moment that your word will be shared. I'm asking you, Father, that you pour your Holy Spirit upon the word. You are your own interpreter. I ask you, Father, to interpret your word to your people. Manifest yourself, O God, our Father, that we will see your glory. Let the power of the cross have impact in our life today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Like I said, the cross was the platform upon which the sacrifice, Christ, was made. If there were no cross, there is no way you and I will get the salvation we get today. So at the cross of Calvary, there are a lot of things that God did for us. One of these is that he provided us a base to exercise our authority. And everything about authority is not about you, it's not about who you are, it's about where you belong, the position you occupy. And the position we occupy is that we are the children of God. The Bible says, as many as receive him, to then give him the authority to be the sons and the daughters of God. Once you are a child of God and a daughter of God, you have authority in your hand, made available to you to exercise. But the cross was where that authority was provided. Amen? Look, I am going to actually look at a scripture that in the book of Galatians so that you see exactly what it is, why the cross is important. Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, as it is written, curse is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, it's a curse for anyone to be crucified on the, a curse to be crucified on the cross. When Jesus came, he took that curse upon himself. The curse that comes as a result of our sin, a result of our mistakes, a result of our bad choices. He took it upon himself and nailed it to the cross. Now, let me say this to you. When God made us, he made us in his own image after his likeness. In other words, we were like God. We have a part of God in us. We relate with him. He comes to us every time in the evening. If you read that, the Bible said he come to Adam and Eve in the evening and relate with them. But when Adam sinned, he lost three vital things. And one of them is the identity. He lost the likeness and the image of God. Because sin has nothing to do in the image of God. It cannot enter the image of God. He lost that identity too. He lost his direction, the purpose for which he was created. He lost it. And three, he lost the authority. Now, you find that the Bible says, but as many as received Christ, to them he gave back the authority to become the sons of God. In other words, we receive back our identity. We can now call God Abba Father. We receive our direction. We can now know why we were created. We can now serve him and bring glory to him. Then we receive authority. We can now pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ and things will happen. Yes. These are the three things that Jesus Christ brought back into our life when he died on the cross. Amen. Without the cross, we won't have that provision. The blood was shed at the cross. That was how my sin was washed away. You know, let me tell you, many of us make a lot of bad choices, and that has brought us into bondage. I made some bad choices when I was small. Because of the things that I suffered at the age of 10, I chose, to live my life the way I wanted, irrespective of who gets hurt. I was living that way, but I was actually hurting myself, not nobody else. You know, it's like somebody who is like sinning. You say, well, I am making God mad. No, 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 no. You are like somebody drinking poison expecting somebody else to die. Yeah. It is you. You are hurting yourself. You are living in a way that God pities you because that is not what he wants you to be. That is not the ideal life he created you for. But at the cross, he gave us back the opportunity, a window to return back to him. That was why that when Jesus said it is finished, the Bible said the curtain in the temple was torn into two. And the access to the promise, access to the presence of God was made open to us. Now, that is what I want to stretch a little bit today in our discussion. When you get home, I want you to read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter, if you can read the whole thing, fine, but where I want to stress is from verse 15 to the end. He talked about our eyes of understanding being enlightened to know the purpose for which Christ called us, to know the purpose of what he did when he died on the cross and rose again, to know the power he invested in our life, that we are lifted above all principalities and powers and everything that is named. In other words, we take a position in the presence of God that we have power because we are relating with him. So at the cross, four major victories were won. Four major victories were won. Number one, we regain our liberty and freedom as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. At the cross, you and I receive That citizenship, you know, in this country, when you want to become a citizen, you go through certain things, you meet certain requirements, and then you come to swear an oath and then become a citizen. Now, when you become a citizen, you have the privileges and rights. Once you become a citizen, there are things that have to be you. Now, like you have rights, and I have rights in my own country. There are certain rights I don't have here. There are certain assets I don't have here. But when I get back to my country, because I'm a citizen of that country, I have rights and privileges as provided in that country. So if I am a citizen of heaven, there are rights and privileges that God allows you to have. And that is why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is no more an old person. Everything become new. Old life will go away. Your wrong decisions, your wrong choices, God will give you forgiveness. It will pass away and you'll find a new hope. Yes. You know, one of the guys who came to Project Hope was a very bad guy. They use him as a talk. And he was there. You can see him very isolated. He doesn't want to associate with people because of the bad experiences he have had in life. But few months into the time of his graduation, God just beam his light on him. And this young man cried and told us all about his life. And God changed and transformed him. He can't go back again to do what he was doing. Jesus Christ transformed and changed his life. Amen. When you gain your right as a citizen of heaven, there are certain things that doesn't happen to you anymore. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to any man who is in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. For the law of the spirit of life have made you free from the law of sin and death. When you are free from the law of sin and death, you can lift your hand and say, he is my Abba Father. I have no more thing in my record that is evil. You may have been in terrible crime before. You may have been in terrible state before. But Jesus Christ can save your life. Let me tell you a little bit about myself, how Jesus saved me. You know, I wasn't born in a Christian home. I wasn't born in a religious place where you worship or read the Bible. I was born in an idol house, in an idol family. My father owned an idol, a big room full of images that they worship. But you know what? When I gave my life to Christ at the age of 20, everything about my life changed. My father gave his life to Christ when he was 100 years old. Wow. And after 100 years old, he said, the life I lived when he was about to die, 15 years later, he said, the life I lived in the last 15 years of my life was better than the life I lived in the first 100. And that is what Jesus can do. That is how the cross can transform a life. I was a bad guy, you know, in a gang, smoke marijuana. I don't just smoke one, I smoke four single wrap in one. We used to call it then family wrap. So I thought that was life. I thought I was enjoying. Drink myself to stupor to a point where, you know, you roll in the gutter and somebody, you can't even take out your button. But I thought that was enjoyment. But when I came to Jesus at the age of 20, I then saw what enjoyment was. I saw how freedom and liberty can make me different from every other thing. My life was transformed. Everything about my world changed. And I began to live in hope, knowing that God created me for a reason. There are some of us here who may not have had that experience. But I pray that today, God will open your eyes to be able to know that God has been waiting for you, even when you are wallowing in darkness, he has been waiting for you to give you light. Amen? Amen. Now, you see, because of that freedom, I have freedom to relate with God, to express myself in the presence of God, because the cross gave me that liberty. That's why I go everywhere preaching. That's why I go. The Bible says the gospel, I'm not ashamed of it, because there's a power of God unto salvation. And I keep proclaiming it, telling everybody, I'm on radio, I'm on television, I'm on Facebook or everywhere, because I can express myself and tell people that Jesus Christ is real. You can't tell me he doesn't exist. I know he exists because I've seen practically what he did in my life. I've seen how he changed me, how he transformed me, how he has blessed me in one way or the other, led me to where I am today. Amen. So he can do the same thing for you. He can give you that same hope. Amen? Amen? Now, you find that if you look at David, David knew exactly what that is. When he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he went further to say, "If I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." The presence of God with us wouldn't be possible without the cross. It was the cross that paid the price for God to relate with us. Now, let me show you a little bit of a picture that you see how loving our God is. How many people have seen an elephant? Either in the zoo or in a picture or in a movie, you see how big an elephant is, right? How many also have seen ant? You see ant? Now, think of an elephant looking down to look at the ant. Will you see the ant? No. Because the ant is too tiny for the elephant to see. But think of the ant relating with the elephant, calling elephant my friend. Elephant doesn't even see, he can match and pass. Somebody asked me one time, I said, "How big is God?" Well, I don't know. I have not seen him once. But I can tell you a little bit about what I know. I say, well, he is so big that his ears is so big that there are 7.5 billion people on the earth. And all of them, their telephone line is connected to his ears. He hears everybody distinctly. He knows who call at any time. Even though everybody is talking the same time, he cannot be confused with their voices. He knows their voices. He responds to their needs at the same time. That is how big my God is. Amen. Amen. And you see, that same big God said to you, "You are my child. You are my son." What gave us that privilege? The cross. The cross. He gave us access to his power. Access to God's power. Now, you find if you are a friend to the son of a president of a nation. Now, listen to me. You are a friend to the son of the president of a nation. Well, you are relating with that guy. You didn't know he's going to be a president. But one day, he became a president of a nation. And your friendship with his son is valid. Do you know what happened? Your status changes immediately. You know why? Your friend influences the father to make sure he make you to come to the same level where they are in relationship. Because the father knows you as a friend to his son, he takes you in. You never know, he can give you an appointment. Before you know it, people answer you, "Sir." Why? Because of your relationship with the son. If you relate with Christ very well, God will give you everything that he gives to his son. That is a privilege the cross gave to us. The access to God's power. The access to his throne. I can approach God anywhere. In the plane, in the car, on my bed, everywhere. I can talk to God because he gave me the access. And that's why the Bible said, those who know him, greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen. Number two, at the cross, we regain our right to relate with God. We regain our right. If you look at the book of Ephesians, you'll find out that all our sins, he took it, washed it, and make us to sit on the same place with his son in the heavenly places. And because of that, we can now say to the devil, "Get out," and he obeys us. He gives us the access into that very place where we can relate with God. We can talk with God. There are people who don't have that access yet. And you ask, "Pastor, how do you get that access?" It's a simple thing. That you bow down and say, "God, I'm sorry for my sin." Because the only problem between you and God is your sin. It's your disobedience. It's your rebellion. That's the only thing between you and God. And you say, "God, please, I give myself to you completely today." That moment, boom, something happened. Your life have changed. Your world have changed. And the Spirit of God comes into you and make you a new person. Amen?
Amen.
You know, in my village, People know who I was, know how my life was. But today, I am like the prince in the village. When I come in, everybody want to talk to me. Why? Because they have seen that God changed my life. It wasn't like that before. I have a relationship to relate with, you know, with God. And because I have a relationship with God, I am able to come out and tell people what God can do. When you have a relationship with God, let me tell you what happened. Your life becomes a shining light to all the people around you. And I pray that today you will take this privilege and use it. Amen? Amen. Number three, at the cross, we regain our authority over the power of the devil. Now, I'm going to do it two times, two places here. Authority over the power of the devil. You see, in this world, the person that reigns in sin is the devil. But we, when we become a child of God, we receive Christ into our lives, and the devil have no foothold in our lives again. Amen. We become free from the power and the oppression of the devil. We receive hope. We receive a future. We receive a mandate to be able to live in the world without the interference of the devil, except you give him the chance. How do you give him the chance? When you make bad choices. When you make bad choices. But at the cross, Jesus Christ nailed all those there that if you can say, God, I will follow you, whatever you say, whatever you do, anywhere you lead me, I'm going to follow you. You will find that God will just step into your life. Your life will be different. The chains of the devil will be broken and you'll be set free. Amen. And that's why the Bible says, do not entangle again to the yoke of bondage after you have been set free. Do not give the devil a foothold in your life. Do not allow him to give you. He says all kinds of things. He's a very good salesman. You know, he goes sell you all kinds of pictures and want you to follow them. You have the authority to say, no. In the name of Jesus, I refuse. I refuse to be deceived. I refuse to sin. I refuse to follow your instructions. I tell people, do whatever the devil do. You know, don't do anything the devil asks you to do, but do whatever he says you shouldn't do. Anything he says you shouldn't do, do it. Because that is the one that God is pleased. But whatever I ask you to do, don't do it. Because if you do it, God is very angry. So as a child of God, you have the authority in your hand. We regain that authority because the cross was made available. The Bible says we fight our war not the way the world fights. The weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are the strongholds? Characters, attitudes, lifestyle that the devil have built in our life over the years that he used to torment us. But when you become a child of God, the power of God washes it, cleanses it, break the chains, and set you free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from sin, free from sickness, free from disease, free from oppression. That is a privilege the cross gave to us. And you need to take that into your life. You know, I was telling them, was it last night, I said to them, that sometimes when the devil tried to show me a bad picture about me, I get dressed in my best uniform or clothes. Just get dressed and walk majestically looking at the mirror. And I say, Thomas, you're handsome. Oh, the devil get mad. He just get mad. I tell him exactly what God threw about me. When God finished the work on me, he said, it was good. Amen. And if it's good, I'm handsome. I don't care what your opinion is about me. I know what God says about me, and I stay with that. That's what the cross provides. You might see me as the ugliest person in the world. Sorry, but I see myself as the best in the world. The best ever produced. Show me a duplicate of me. None. Praise the Lord. You can't show me a fake of me. It's not there. Out of 7.5 billion people on the earth, you are made, custom made, crafted by the hand of the master crafter. And that is why your fingernail cannot cost any other person, whether alive or dead or yet to be born. None. You were custom made because he made you for a purpose. Yes. Amen. But the problem is sin will take you out of that purpose. I've said it in this church one time. Some of us don't know how unique we are to God. The day you were conceived in your mother's womb, there were over billions of potential human beings that came in a rush, but only you survived. The other ones have no way to come back again. You only made it to this world. Why? Because while that was going on, where the rush was going on, God was sitting at his quality control table, watching those seeds pass and say, ha, that one. And that is how you show up in this world. That is how unique you are. Why did God bring you? Because you have something to fulfill. Because you have that, the devil gets mad and try to sway you away from it so that he can destroy that very purpose. Hey, say no. There is authority in the blood of Jesus Christ. Give Jesus a chance and he will bring back every purpose that the enemy have lost, taken away from you. All the things he has stolen from you, he will restore it. Because that's what the cross came to give to us. That's why the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are lost. But to us who are saved, it is a power of God. That's the beginning of power. Number four. At the cross, we defeated our enemy. Our enemy was crushed. You know, I love that one. It is finished. I have done the job. It's sealed and signed. Now, let me say this to you. I don't fight the devil. That's not my mandate. My mandate is to celebrate his defeat. He has been defeated already at the cross. He has been stripped open at the cross. His power has been limited at the cross. All I need to do, I don't fight him. I just tell him, remind him what has happened at the cross and get him running. Why? Because that is what we are to do, celebrating the defeat of the devil. Each time I pray, I celebrate the defeat of the devil. That's the only reason why I watch wrestling. I watch it because if I'm praying, in my mind, I see myself torturing the devil. He cries and I bind him in the name of Jesus. He hurts him and he runs away. And I just come up on top. You know how those guys will do a pinfall and come out and say, I did it. That's the celebration we are made to celebrate. Because Jesus Christ gave us the authority to do that. Amen. Let me tell you of a woman in my church. This woman in my church comes to me every day, you know, as a pastor, and keep telling me, the devil beat me. You know, in this country, when you say somebody is oppressed, you don't even know what it is. In Africa or different places, oppression is that heaviness comes on you. This is done by evil spirit. So this woman is being oppressed almost every day. It comes to my house, I pray. So one day, she was coming and my heart, my eyes, the eyes of my spirit just pop open. I told my wife, I'm going to be a bad pastor today. My wife said, don't say that. I said, watch what I'm going to do. So she came in, sat down, told me the usual story. And after that, I said, praise the Lord. He said, no, that's not praise the Lord. Pray. I said, I'm not going to pray. The same Jesus Christ you receive is what I receive. The same blood that washed your sin was what washed my sin. The same Holy Spirit is what is in me that is in you. The same Bible I read is what I read. So if they come and you cannot use your power, die. Is that not a bad pastor? But I'll prove you wrong. I just wanted her to see what she has. Because if I keep tending her, I am actually spoiling her. So I wanted her to stand on her feet. And I said to her, if there's no alternative to the power that is fighting you, die. And she said, Daddy, I'm going. I said, yes. As she left, I said, God, open her eyes. She went home because there's nobody else to run to. And she just quickly fixed her food and ate and knelt down and began to pray in the spirit and pray and pray and pray and pray herself to sleep. There was no oppression. 6 o'clock in the morning, she was banging my door. Daddy, it worked. It worked. They didn't come last night. It worked. I said, yes, that's exactly what I want to do. Go do it again. Today, if anybody is possessed, I send them to her. Like this, you just cut them out. Amen. Why? Because she discovered that she has power. Many of us cry and whine like babies, but we are supposed to be adults in the Lord who use the name of Jesus to scare our enemy away. Yes, you have that power. At the cross, we defeat our enemy. We strip him down, and you can bind him, he will bow. You can cast him out, he will go. Anything you say about the power of God, the devil is ready to submit to it because he knows the truth. That at the cross, you won the victory. Amen? Amen. There are so many people today that God wants to give victory this morning. And I believe that God is ready to do that. Now let me say this. All the things the devil have been lying to you about at the cross, Jesus said, I paid. It is finished. He may be telling you, you are very bad. You cannot be fixed. Your life is gone. Maybe you have to sustain yourself with drug or sustain yourself with this or that. You say, no, today the cross is my bet. I am going to submit to the power of the cross, and the Lord will set me free. And no matter what is the problem, if the Son will set you free, you are free indeed. So I want to see deliverance this morning. I want to see repentance this morning. I want to see people turning around this morning. I want to see the glory of God in your life this morning. And that is why we are here, that you might receive the word of truth that can set you free, and free indeed. Today, I don't know what you are struggling with. I don't know what the problem is. It might be in your health. The devil is fighting. There is healing. It might be in your mind. You are troubled. There is peace. The Holy Spirit is the author of peace. You might be suffering in your finances. There is provision in him. Now, some of you don't actually know that God provides. He has provided for me many times. But let me give you two instances. One, I was living in a village. I wasn't married then. I was living in a village. And I desired, that village is, every 4 days is their market. So you can't buy anything until after 4 days. So that day I desired, I wanted to eat some meat. But I don't have money. And I went to the two brothers who live in the same house with me. I wanted to ask them if I can loan money from them. They don't have any money. They said, what do you want to buy? I said, well, today is market. I wanted to buy meat to cook, but there's no meat. And when they said they had no money, so I went back into the house. Now listen to this. About 5 o'clock, I had a young man like this running upstairs with something like a soccer ball carefully wrapped in a paper, like a soccer ball, just the size of a soccer ball. And he was running up, where is the pastor? Where is the pastor? Where is the pastor? So I came out from my room. Another person came out, and he handed it to the brother. I said, they asked me to give it to the pastor. And he ran downstairs. The brother followed him closely. And when he came out, he went this way. From where he entered to the road is about 200 feet. So there's no way he can go in 1 second. He ran this way. The brother came out and said, come, who sent you? He looked around. There's nobody. And he just like, oh. He saw two people coming from the front. He said, did you see the young man who just ran out of this house? We didn't see anybody. They said, you mean there's nobody who, there's nowhere to hide? They couldn't find anyone. So I said, all right, you take a motorbike. Go around my members. If anyone were to buy meat, they can't afford that size. Nobody sent me meat. I said to them, you know what? Manna still come from heaven. I wanted to cook it. 1 full pot and a half of beef, boneless. And we ate it for days. Why? It came from heaven. We don't know where it came from. We don't know who sent it. God can provide. Not too long ago, my wife told me, said, I don't have anything in the house. I said, okay, I hear you. And I was leaving. He said, you know, I said, there's nothing in the house. I said, I hear. I'm going to tell my boss. Because I'm working for somebody. I'm working for him. Amen. So I'm going to tell my boss. So my wife's okay. So I went to the church and I sat and I said, God, you know, my wife said there's nothing. And I just sat there thanking God for something. Not too long, my wife called me. Did you send anybody to the house? No. He said, well, a brother came from not my church, another church, who don't know what I'm facing. He came from another church. Everything we needed in the house was in his car. He dropped it off. He said, give it to our daddy, and he left. So my wife said, well, in my house, here, everything I needed is here. The brother brought it. As I told you, I'm going to tell my boss. Now, if that relationship is not there, I can't go to tell him. So no matter what you are going through, Jesus have an answer to it. That is why he sent his son to die at the cross. Do you know the pain that they put the nail without painkiller and nail it through? And he carried that and hung there for hours because of you. Why not you accept him and said, I give all to you so that you can give me all that you are. I want to pray with you this morning. I'm trusting God that God is going to touch your life and change some things that you think can never be changed. First, I'm going to ask, how many of you have not really experienced salvation? Salvation in the sense that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You've not had that experience in your life, and you have been going to church, you play church, but you have not really given your heart to Christ. There's opportunity today. You can come and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need anything from you to save you. He needs you to decide he will save you. When he saves you now, he saves you for a purpose. That where he saves you from, you are not going back there anymore. So if that is your desire, I want all eyes closed at this time. But for you who know that your life is a mess and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to do it, you have struggled with things in your life and you don't know how to come out of it, Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that labored and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That rest is yours today. So will you mind, if you want to actually give your life to Jesus Christ, nobody is looking, even though somebody is looking, you are crossing from death to life. Why not you lift your hands up and say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior and my King. If you are doing that, just lift your hand up. I want to see it and I want to pray with you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Please, can you just get up and come here? Come and meet me here. Just come and meet me here. God bless you. God bless you. Just come and meet me here, please. Those of you who lifted your hands up, just come to the front. God bless you. Welcome. Just kneel down and talk to God. Tell God about your life. Just kneel down and tell God about your life. Tell him about the situation you are faced with. There are some things in your life you are struggling with. You don't know where to come out, how to come out from it. Jesus Christ is calling you. Come. I will help you. I will give you peace. I will give you joy. Please, why not you take this opportunity? God bless you as you come. Just kneel down and talk to him. Tell him, my Father, you died on the cross for me. You set me free. You give me new hope, new life. I have been running all this while, but today I come back to you. Why not you do that? It's not something you discuss with a friend. It's a decision you make. It's a decision you make. And when you make that decision, it's personal. It's something that you need to do today. But if you lose this opportunity, the devil will be laughing at you because he knows what you are missing. Let me give this few seconds for some people who want to do that. You know, as you are kneeling down here, tell God about your life. I don't need to hear all the story about your life, but Jesus Christ needs to hear it. Tell him about it and tell him to forgive you. That's all it takes, just to forgive you. Yes, you can come. Just kneel down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I know that the Lord has opened his hand to bless so many people today. God bless you. As you kneel down, tell the Lord to change your life. That something has to happen in your life today. Something has to happen. You may have given your life to Christ. God bless you. God bless you. You may have given your life to Christ before, but you are falling away. Jesus is saying, come back home. I want to save you. I want to help you. I want to change your life. Why not you come? Why not you come? Don't sit there blaming yourself for all that you've done. Jesus is not blaming you. He is calling you. He said, come. I know what you are going through. I have been chasing you around. I've been trying to help you, but you are not giving me attention. Today, give him the attention. I know there are still some who want to come out here and talk to God. Tell him what you did at the cross. Please, let it affect my life. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let it affect my life. Let it be something that will change me. Let it be something that will transform me. That from this day, I'll begin to live a new life. If God can save me, he can save anybody. I was a wreck. I was a mess. But he washed me and made me a new person. I believe that this is your moment. This is a defining moment that you will always remember in your life. Why not you cry to God and tell God, please have mercy upon me. Forgive me. There's someone who is arguing with himself or herself while sitting down. Why not? Why will you argue with yourself? Just say, Jesus, I let loose. I let go. I let go. I just want to know you personally. Thank you. Thank you. Don't argue with yourself. Just tell God, oh, yes, I want to surrender my life. I want to see a new thing, a new beginning. You are going to help me. Just, Pastor Mark, can you come here with me, please? Let us, everyone in this congregation, can you spread your hand to this front and begin to pray for these people, even this moment. For me, my heart is so heavy. I want to see God move upon their life in such a way that everything about their life transformed and changed and completely changed, that their life will be completely changed and transformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, our Father, I ask you, this one, so God, our Father, as they are here, I pray, Father, that your hand will be mighty upon them, Father. Lord in heaven, as I am about to lead them in prayers, I pray that it will come from their heart, that your Holy Spirit will break the walls in their heart and give them freedom, liberty to serve you, Father. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus that every chain that have been holding them will be broken down so that their lives, oh God, our Father, will be transformed, that this one, oh God, will have a testimony of transformation and change. Lord, I thank you. All of you who are kneeling down, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just repeat it with me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come to you today.
You
died on the cross for me.
You died on the cross.
Today I accept the sacrifice.
Today I accept the sacrifice
you made at the cross of Calvary.
That you made at the cross.
On my behalf.
On my behalf.
Thank you for that sacrifice.
Thank you for the sacrifice.
I accept it today.
Accept.
Please forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Wash me with the blood of your Son Jesus.
Wash me with the blood.
Oh God, I ask you,
come
into my heart and dwell. Make my heart your living place. In the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, thank you. Come into my heart. Help me to live the Christian life from this day on. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you very much for these ones who have come, oh God, our Father, into your presence and into your kingdom. I'm asking you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will move upon this life, oh Father. And Lord in heaven will transform them into the image of your Son. Forgive all their sins, oh God. Every chain that have been holding them, every oppression that have been holding them, I break it off in the name of Jesus. And I set them free in the name of Jesus. I release them, oh God, from the oppression of the devil. And I ask that your peace will rest upon them today. Let your hand be upon them, Father. Let your name be glorified in their life. I bind the devil and all his activities. I pray, Lord, that you take over their heart and, Lord, turn it around to the cross. Let your spirit move upon them, Father. Thank you, Lord, for these lives. I appreciate you for this gift you have given to us this morning. Let your peace rest upon them, Father. Give them the assurance of a new life in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for hearing these prayers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's thank God for their life. Please, can you stand? Can you stand, please? I'd like you to stand. I'd like you to stand in the front here. Just come a little bit closer. I want to congratulate you for the decision you have made. That's a great step forward. Congratulations. Congratulations. Come on. Congratulations. 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 Let me congratulate the rest and I'll talk to you a little bit. God bless you, my friend. Congratulations. Hey, congratulations. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Congratulations. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I need to talk to you guys a little bit. You know, about 45 years ago, I made this same decision you made. And for the past 45 years, I had no one day regret that I made that decision. When Jesus saved me, he changed me. Some of you have great future, very great destiny. My encouragement is that you study the Bible every day. You ask for counsel from pastors. Read the Bible, pray every day, because that is the only way you grow. There's a song I will teach you. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, if you want to grow. If you want to grow, if you want to grow, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, if you want to grow. I believe that New Life have daily Bible reading. Please take one before you go and make sure that you read your Bible every day. You now have the power to go to God and say, God, keep me away from those things that will wreck in my life. You have the authority to do that. If the pressure becomes much, call the pastor. Call, please, I need someone to pray for me. And then you just find out the devil will run away, right? You will be free. I ask that the Holy Spirit will guide you and keep you in the hold of his hand. All right? You can go to their Facebook page and listen to all the things that they do. I have a Facebook page. It's full of Bible studies. It's full of encouragement. Some of you who are here who are on it, every day I post the Bible study or a teaching on my Facebook page. And it will be a blessing to you. God bless you. God bless you. I don't know what, Pastor, you want to tell them. You know, you want to hand something to them. I don't know. All right. After that, I'm going to pray for those who need physical healing. Their body.
Praise God. You know, we do have some Bible studies and some different things. Adam, he may have gone outside, but we have some packets we'd love to give you guys and some things that will help you to walk this walk and to begin what it is that you're on. It's a journey. And so please make sure that Karen will get those. And if we don't have enough, because what a praise God. That's a wonderful thing. We'll get those to you. Amen. Yeah. Come on, church. Let's give a praise. And we are here for you. We want to help you. Help you to walk along this way.
Yes.
Not to do it for you, but to help you. And please allow us to do that, okay? Well, you guys can just move down this way. And I know Brother Thomas also has a few other things.
Yes.
In fact, let me ask you guys, if you would, come on down to this end over here.
This side, so you can have it.
So that we can, I know that Brother Thomas, we can, over here, we can pray for some others that are in need today too.
Let me pray this time. You see, faith has risen in this congregation right now. And I need to spread my hand and then ask God to touch you in a special way. Faith have risen in your heart. I can see that.
Yes.
There's expectation. I don't know what sickness you are struggling with. Can you stand with me? And as you stand this moment, I'm going to stretch my hand. And I just believe that as I stretch my hand, God will begin to touch you where you are and begin to take away this pain or whatever it is, and that you experience the divine healing of God. So if there is any situation you are going through and you want me to pray on that, please stand and I'm going to pray. Lift your hands and tell God what that is. You will tell God what that is, what that problem is. And I, as I pray today, just believe that as you are talking to God, I am standing with you in faith, asking that God will spread his hand upon you right now and bring healing, restoration into your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I proclaim healing upon this body, Father. Lord, wherever it is, whatever it is, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that your Holy Spirit will move upon this congregation and begin to destroy the power of sickness and disease and begin to restore all that the enemy have stolen from their life. Peace, joy, satisfaction in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray this moment, oh God, that your Holy Ghost will move upon them, Father, and break every yoke and break every chain and break every bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you, Father, to release your power upon them, Father. Receive in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive that healing. Let it come from your hand. Let it go down into the sole of your feet in the name of Jesus. Your Lord in heaven, just like a burning sensation going through your body in the name of Jesus Christ, let the Spirit of the Lord take over now and break the yoke, our Father, in the name of Jesus. Bring restoration. Thank you, Father, for this time. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I need to do something. I'm going to just lay hand on you as you come by. I lay hand on you. I pray for the sickness. I lay hand on you and ask the Lord, break it. Right that moment, as I lay my hand, believe that that is where you claim yours and take it. All right? So can I see you? Just, if you want, I just lay my hand upon you. Right now, just very simple. It's not going to take a long time. I'm just going to ask, Lord, Father, anoint this hand, Father. Let it be fire. Let it be glory. Let it be your hand. Let it carry your blood in the name of Jesus. 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 Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. 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 Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask for a release in the name of Jesus. I ask for a release in the name of Jesus. I ask for a release in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let there be a release in the name of Jesus. Excuse me. Come. Come. Pastor, can you just pray for her? In the name of Jesus. 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 Let the healing take place now. In the name of Jesus. Let it take place now. In the name of Jesus, let it take place now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the healing. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the healing in the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, 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 let there be freedom, Father. Lord in heaven, I ask you, let there be freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that as we live here today, Father, testimony will start coming. Even when you look at your body right now, something has happened. I pray, Lord, that your hand, oh God, will complete the work you have started. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate Jesus. He is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that those of you who have given your life to Christ, please feel free. Feel free to communicate with your pastor. And then also, if you want to be on my Facebook, send me a request. My name is Thomas Okute. You'll see it on the flyer. And you have a lot of resources in that place that will help you grow it every morning. How many of you are my friends on Facebook? Can I see your hand? Yes. You see, ask them. They will tell you what goes on in that. God bless you.
Oh, God has rained down in powerful and mighty ways. As a church, we have the opportunity, and we do, we purpose this. And again, I know some of you will appreciate this. Some of you need to learn this. Our God is a seed and harvest God. And our God calls us to sow seed, and He calls us to make sure that the ground is good. And then we sow that seed, not for the purpose of just throwing seed, but for sowing seed for a harvest of righteousness, a harvest that comes after that seed for which we have sown. If you sow zucchini seed, you get zucchini. As a church, we sow seed into the ministry of Brother Thomas, and I'm blessed. We've been a part of building what you saw there, where young men and women are coming to be housed and fed. I have a vision for transitional housing and a place where we could be an all-time kitchen that's open, not just the Saturday morning breakfast, but where people can come. And God's continuing that vision. And we sow seed into what Brother Thomas is doing, because what he's doing is what I believe God is calling us to do. So we sow that seed into that. You have the opportunity today to be able to sow some seed if you would like to be a part of that. We offer this as an opportunity. But I tell you what, seed in your pocket will never produce the harvest that it was intended for. So you have to purpose to sow that seed. You can go to the website, just mark it on there, Brother Thomas. You can give that way. The ushers are in the back. You can give that way. However you would like to do that. But I want you to make sure that you do this, is that you see it as seed that's being sown, and that we look to reap a harvest of that. We specifically, as a church, just so you know, we sow into Brother Thomas's ministry. I think that's one of the biggest needs we have. That's why that's one of the biggest things that we do. Another one, and you know, is for Guatemala. We need a new church building. We don't have the finances in ourselves, but God does. So we sow seed, and what we do is we help build a church down in Guatemala, and our team is leaving in a month to go down there. They're going to see the church that we've been helping to build on a regular basis by sowing seeds into that ministry. We also sow seed into a ministry that's planting schools, because I believe God wants us to have a Christian school here in this community. And so we're sowing seed into a ministry that is putting Christian schools in Hindu villages, in Muslim villages. They're putting Christian schools into those places, and God is blessing them amazingly. I believe with an unwavering hope that God is going to do those things, that he's going to do those things here because of the seed that we've sown. We're just waiting for God to open the door at just the right time with just the right people, that we might be prepared for all those things. But God is not short on resources. God knows that's been sown. He knows what's been the heart that's there. And those things shall come to pass. They shall come to pass. Be a part of that with us by sowing seeds into ministries that are already doing those things. So please, make sure you do that today. Make sure that you come and let Brother Thomas know how much he has blessed you. I know it means the world to him. And again, thank him for being here. And thank him for taking the time to fly from Nigeria all the way over here to little old Utah to come bring a word such as this. Amen. We're going to sing this one more time prophetically as we leave today. We're going to sing it with our loud voices. We're going to get our outdoor voices indoor here, because we want to raise the roof and we just want to let God be God. Let's let the people out there getting food. Let's let them hear our worship. Amen. Hey, remember, church, when you go out of here, go be the church. Church is not ending. Church is about to begin. So go out and be the church. Come on, let's sing it.
The blind will see. The mute will sing. The dead will rise. Our hearts will praise. The darkness flee. My heart screams, I am free.
Someone open the back door.
I am free. Let me hear you sing it. Free to run.